City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to a Bismarck edition of City Current. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and it is Wednesday, May 23rd. We're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access, and because it's a Bismarck edition, Jason Tomanek is here.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm very well. It's summertime.
It is. No tie. Short sleeves, no tie.
We're going a little more cash
today. That's right.
Well, you had a busy meeting last night. You had a pretty lengthy meeting. There was a lot of agenda items. So we've got a few things to cover as well today. But before we jump into the actual meeting itself, last week, I believe, I got a message from Glory David, your PIO, Public Information Officer for the City of Bismarck, that Michelle Closey, your Director of
Public Works Utility Operations.
Okay, thank you.
Water, sewer, stormwater.
You kind of fill in the blanks.
Yep, no problem.
The message was that water in the city of Bismarck is going to be reduced pressure. So the message was, let's bring it down a little bit. People who are used to watering every day, if they could cut back a little bit. So I think the bottom line was homes with an even number home address could water on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yep.
And those with an odd-numbered home address would be Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, too.
You got it.
So up until about June 6th, we can expect some reduced water pressure.
Yeah, and it's just a temporary thing for some improvements that need to be done with the water treatment plant.
Okay.
So if we can just conserve water just a little bit, that'll help everybody out.
Okay. So. And one other thing we want to touch on, although it was mentioned at the meeting last night, Jeff Hines did a little wrap-up of the day of Public Works at an open house last Saturday.
That's right.
And a lot of activity going on. And you have a little video on your Facebook page that I thought we could pop in here, too. It just showed some of the people at the facility. This was out at Public Works. I'll roll it. It'll go pretty quick because it's like a 10-second.
Yeah, it was a well-attended event. This is the first time the City of Bismarck has opened up the Public Works facility since its original completion many years ago. So the event was really geared towards families, a lot of hands-on stuff for the kids. They could crawl on the equipment, sit in the cab of some of these tractor trailers, not tractor trailers, sorry, but the heavy equipment. There were also some opportunities for kids to decorate some of the snow plows and things like that. So it was a good event for everybody. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
And according to Jeff, he said it was so successful. They really want to do it again.
Every year, it sounds like, from this point.
Great
so
experience.
Hopefully they learn a few things, and next year it gets bigger and better. And the more people we get to these things, the better. There's a lot going on out of Public Works, so it's a good opportunity to check around and see another video
that we have access to really talks about cleanup week a little bit. We'll roll that roll. It'll roll through pretty fast. Mm-hmm. So lots of stuff picked up during
Public
cleanup
Works week. Has been very busy. I believe they set some all-time highs. Some tremendous amounts of trash was collected during cleanup week. I believe the second day of cleanup week, the crews were out for over 14 hours in just one day, picking up all the stuff on the normal Tuesday route. So definitely a lot of people taking advantage of that opportunity, and it sounds like it was a good success.
Spring cleaning. Everybody got their stuff out. So let's move to the agenda from last night. Again, it was pretty packed, so we want to roll through a few things real quickly and just mention on the consent agenda, there was two items we want to bring up, and one is liquor licenses were approved. I should say they were introduced, and a call for a public hearing set for liquor license for Terra Nomad, and then also for the Country House Deli.
Right, both established businesses and have made a business decision to apply for an alcohol license. So the public hearing for both of those will be June 12th. That's the next time our commission will meet.
Okay. We'll talk about it then. See if those go through. The other thing on your consent agenda came out of a request from the police department to move forward with approval to take the images of the Bismarck police vehicles and then make die-cast small little toys.
Replica toys, yeah. And these are for the collectors. These are for the police enthusiasts. This isn't the first time that City of Bismarck vehicles have been modeled. You can see some of the images on the screen for those that...
So they box them up real nice.
Yeah, it's not just a little car. I mean, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into this. And having been to the police department a few times, you see a lot of these cars in the offices. I know the officers like having them. There's a nice collection of them. So for anybody out there that is looking to help support the police department or add to your collection, stay tuned. We'll see these in the very near future. So the permission was granted to use the likeness, the vehicles, the images, and all of the things that accompany that. So we'll expect to see these things in the very near future.
And just to clarify, this is no cost to the police department.
Correct.
This is all done by a private company who asks for this permission, and then they market them.
Yeah, and this is fairly common throughout the United States. You see different car companies, model car, toy car companies doing things like this just to support law enforcement.
It's a fun thing. So. So when they become available, I would assume you guys would be putting some information out on your Facebook page or a news release so people know how to buy them.
Police department has thousands of followers on their Facebook page as well. So mm-hmm. once it becomes available, we'll make sure everybody knows about it.
Cool. So
we might even bring one here to the program.
Oh, yeah. Let's have
drive
one.
It on the desk here or something.
We can do that. Well, let's move into the regular agenda, and we'll start out with an item that we've talked about before, and that is an RFP that went out not mm-hmm. too long ago by the city for proposals for the Galleria block, for the south end of the Galleria block, and we call that really the Radisson Hotel block,
right,
where mm-hmm. that sits. And, you know, if we can go back in history, a long time that was torn down, and it was a hole for a long time. Yep. In the early 80s, I believe, the hotel was built.
Right.
And the grand plan at that time actually did have another building on that south end, which mm-hmm. would have, I think it was referred to as a phase two. It would be more of an office tower type thing. Mm-hmm. It never materialized. So as a result, it's been sitting there as an empty lot, primarily just mm-hmm. a gravel lot. Mm-hmm. And it's been used and leased partially, at least, by the hotel for overflow parking.
Right, yeah.
So that's really where it's been for years.
Right, yeah, and we looked at this as an opportunity with all the interest in downtown. Seeing a vacant lot just begs for something more. Mm-hmm. That. And so the city's owned this property since the late 70s. And when it was originally torn down, it was part of urban renewal, which we know had a significant impact on a lot of downtowns throughout the United States. Mm-hmm. So we issued the RFP back in January. We received one proposal after a little over 7 weeks of the RFP, the request for proposals being out there. We received one proposal, and it was from a local group, a mm-hmm. local partnership. And so last night, the group shared their concept with the city commissioners. And for anybody that's interested, it is a three-story mixed-use building with nearly a dozen retail storefronts on the ground floor, and then 40 apartments ranging from efficiency size, primarily one-bedroom units throughout, but there are a small number of two-bedroom and three-bedroom units mm-hmm. available as well. And one thing I would like people to know is that this is still in the conceptual phase. The group has put together, we were seeing some images of what the building may look like. We have a number of steps that need to go through before this gets the total green light. One thing that I think is worth noting is that the group has indicated that they would be willing to pay market value for the land.
So I think that's an important distinction that
absolutely
we need to make.
We'd seen a proposal earlier this year, late last year, I should say, where the individual had offered to pay a dollar for the land. And I understand when you pay very little for the land, the building can be much more than it may be otherwise.
Right.
But this group recognizes the value of the property and recognizes that the city has an obligation to be responsible as well.
I think it's also important to mention that these are local people
Definitely.
Who want to develop mm-hmm. this property. Planners, architects, builders in
yes.
the community that have come together. I think there's like five partners mm-hmm. that want to have put this proposal together. And as you said, it's very early stage. It may evolve from this point. Again, we've got some images, but mm-hmm. that's the basic concept. So the bottom line with the commission last night, the decision that they made, they basically said they were impressed with the mm-hmm. the proposal, and they'd like to see more a discussion happen.
Right. Yeah. So they've directed staff to continue to work with the group. Denizen Partners is the name of the group that came forward. And as staff, we will continue to vet this project, make sure that it hits all the right marks, hits all the right boxes. I guess it is worth noting, aside from the new apartments on the west end of Main Avenue, which was done by Metroplanes, that's a 55 and up housing facility. This would be the first new housing opportunity in downtown Bismarck in decades. So an interesting concept to see what it looks like with new housing opportunities downtown. So we'll for surely keep people posted as we go forward.
I think one of the questions that we heard last night, I think it was Commissioner Guy, said, why are you restricted to the three levels? Mm-hmm. And I think it was explained that, well, it does not have an elevator.
Right.
We've designed it without an elevator because it's more cost effective. Obviously, mm-hmm. if you have to carve out space for an elevator, you can't sell that space.
Right.
So that was the reason. And obviously, without an elevator, three stories is about your max.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I give a lot of credit to the group because they've looked at this from a number of different angles, but they're very focused on keeping these affordable. These would not be subsidized units. They would not be high-end units. They would be what we would consider market rate units, mm-hmm. and they'd be attainable for anybody that's interested in either an efficiency all the way up to a three-bedroom. So we'll definitely keep people posted on how this moves forward. No final decisions have been made. There's still a number of steps to go along the way, but I think it's an exciting hurdle that was overcome last night.
I also think it's important to mention that the city intends to then sell this project. The
Correct.
City will not manage this project or own this project. They currently own it, and that's why they want to see a proposal before they're willing to sell to someone.
Right.
They want to make sure that it fits with the strategic plan
Absolutely.
For downtown, and mm-hmm. it is the highest and best use for the land. So if it does move forward, the city will then sell that property to these developers.
Correct. And I guess a key distinction there is the property then begins to generate property taxes, because as the city owns it, it generates
Sure.
nothing in property tax. So this would bolster the taxable value of properties downtown. It would give people a place to live. And I think one other thing that's worth mentioning, the group did share, they have no intentions of divesting themselves of this property. They want to build this, own it, operate it, manage it all the way through.
So they have a long-term vision for
this.
Yeah.
And some of the partners have a pretty significant real estate portfolio as well. So I think this will fit really nicely.
Experience behind
Definitely.
Them as well.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be exciting, and I'm sure you'll be involved in those discussions. So you'll bring
Definitely.
It back to
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
Keep
everybody posted.
Yeah, that'd be great. And related to this somewhat, right on the backside of this, is mm-hmm. the Galleria parking ramp. And that ramp from the beginning has had some issues.
It has.
It used to have a park even on the top that had to be closed because of structural issues
mm-hmm.
and problems. It was a great idea at the time, but mm-hmm. apparently just did not follow through. But now it has some structural issues that need to be addressed. And I think that we were awarded bids last
That's right. Yeah. So it's been a few years now that the ramp has had shoring in place. And really the shoring is meant to support it structurally. And the parking authority has decided that it's time to fix the ramp. And so
mm-hmm.
they put out a bid package and received a number of bids. Of the bids that were received, three of them were from qualified bidders. And the lowest bid was a very favorable bid.
It was like
$750,000, which was half of what the engineer's estimate was. So that's tremendous. And the group that submitted the low bid has done work on the parkade ramp right across the street.
So
they're familiar with the community. They're familiar
good.
With the staff of the parking authority. And I think we'll see these repairs start to move forward later this summer.
Okay. And will the current parking be displaced then during this construction?
Perhaps
it's
a little
not
bit.
Clear.
But yeah, not clear at this point, but I believe their intention is to keep the ramp operational while the repairs are going on. So for those that do rely on that ramp for a daily space, I believe that opportunity will still be there.
It's a well-used ramp.
If
the Radisson obviously is a huge user
Definitely.
Of that, and they need that for their patrons.
Yeah, there's around 250 stalls in the ramp, and we know that there's not just hotel guests, but also employees downtown that rely on the ramp too.
But the beauty of the whole thing is that there is a very close proximity to other parking.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's actually even a skyway between the hotel and the parkade. So that could be easily
It might be
modified.
A change for some, but it's not something that's insurmountable.
Yeah.
So
looks like it's doable.
Yep.
Last night, Michelle Closey came forward just to inform the commission that there is going to be a meeting
mm-hmm.
of the stakeholders involved with mostly developers, builders in the community about commercial water and sewer and stormwater rates that were proposed earlier in the year and had a bit of a backlash and some discussion with them. Now there's a study going on.
That's right. The cost of service rate study. Stantec is a local firm, engineering firm that was awarded that project. So they'll have staff on site. Our city staff will be there to answer questions, and this is a meeting open to anyone.
So would you say this is the first step in this study
it
process?
It is. It's the information gathering process. Okay. It's the information sharing as well, how the city structures its rates, what other communities might be doing, what some options may be going forward. I believe there's two sessions scheduled for Thursday, one in the afternoon. I want to say
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, and then another one in the evening at 7.
Yeah.
And those will be at the Public Works Building, 601 South 26th Street. So if anybody has questions, I encourage them to attend. There will be other ways to participate as the study continues to go forward. There will be online presence, Q&A, that type of thing. This will not be the last of the
So people can post meetings. Comments on the website,
Definitely.
Whatever is
we
set up.
We want to hear from a broad range of people to get as much information as we can, because the more information we have, the better decisions we can make.
And just to reiterate what you just said, and because we are recording this on Wednesday the 23rd, and the program does repeat on KDEC 102.5 FM and our government channels for almost a week, this meeting will take place tomorrow, Thursday, May 24th. Yep. Again, Public Works Building, 3 o'clock, and then again, it's 7 o'clock. The same meeting, two times, just to make it more convenient for
That's
people.
Right.
And they will start, as I understood and I read the notes, she'll start with an update of where we're at, how rates are determined currently, actual discussion of how other communities determine rates, and then a presentation, a little more presentation, and then open it up for discussion.
Yep. And we're talking about both commercial and residential accounts. So it's for everybody in the community.
Sounds good. Speaking of residential, there were a couple of major developments move forward last night, and we bring them up. We talk about all sorts of, we've talked about both of these already in their preliminary stages as we see them go through planning and zoning and various commissions and discussion. But these two are significant. There's just a lot of land being developed, and they're
sizable.
They both went through some annexation, at least a partial annexation, some zoning change, and their final plats.
Right.
So meaning they're now going to start breaking ground, and there's two of them.
Right. Silver Ranch, which is a primarily residential subdivision. It'll be on the east edge of Bismarck. The easiest way to describe it would be just south of 43rd Avenue and east of the Sunrise Elementary area. The other subdivision will remain a rural subdivision. It's outside city limits. It's closer to Hawktree, north of 1804. That would be Whispering Ridge. So what you'll find there would be a little larger lot sizes, no city services,
single family,
primarily all single family. So different versions of options for residential, but still positive growth for the city because...
And many lots.
Between the two subdivisions, I want to say there was close to 200 lots. I believe 40 in Whispering Ridge and I think 120 or so in the Silver Ranch. That's in addition to the already 100 plus lots that are part of Silver Ranch. So... both of these new subdivisions will provide a lot of opportunity for housing for new folks or folks that are looking for a new home.
Yeah, well, that's exciting. Also, moving on the agenda, Bisman Transit has been at the commission a number of times since the first of the year, talking about route changes and other things. Last night, the focus was primarily on what we're calling the Green Route, which was a demonstration project over the past, I believe, year.
Almost a year, right.
A route out to University of Mary. So there's a lot of discussion. I think by anybody's description, though, it really was not a successful demonstration project. It didn't meet, I believe, even 5% of its goal.
Right.
So it had problems, and it's costing Bisman Transit some resources.
Right.
And the decision last night, talk about where they came out. I wasn't really clear on that, Jason.
The transit operation is governed by a board. They have their own board of directors, and that board makes the day-to-day decisions and really guides the transit service. The city functions more as an oversight to the transit board. So,
as well as the city of Mandan, is that
correct?
Right?
Okay. Yes. So, transit being its own entity, they make their own decisions, and we are more advisory to that. And the reason we are advisory is because the federal funding comes through the city of Bismarck, through the MPO, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, and then that is given to transit to support their operations. So The question last night was, does the route stay or does the route change? And I got the impression that the transit board would prefer to shift the route into an area of the community where it would be more well-utilized. It would hit...
Greater need.
Greater need, absolutely. There's a process to change the route. It isn't as just as simple as saying, we're going to move the route over here. That is something for the transit board to continue to work through. They will bring back any potential changes to the city commission for their awareness, but okay. ultimately the decision lies with the transit board. So okay. they'll be looking at other options going forward, how to be more effective and more impactful with their routing. And unfortunately, it just it was a project that didn't meet the success that everyone okay. was hoping. Okay. So look for some changes there too.
Yeah. Keep it on that transportation mode. Gabe Schell mm-hmm. brought forward a North Dakota Moves demonstration project. Mm-hmm. This is becoming available through North Dakota DOT, has some funding available yep. for these kinds of projects. So Gabe had a group put together. They came up with a plan mm-hmm. of a demo project to start here in Bismarck.
And they looked at a number of different options throughout the community, but I believe the intent is to focus some of these options downtown, just to try and enhance the pedestrian activity, try and make things a little safer. And the intent is to have just a short-term look at what it could be if it wasn't the way it is today. So some of the features that you'll see will be very temporary. We've got some images on the screen for those that are able to tune in via TV. But you'll be noticing at 5th and Main and 4th and Main, some various treatments to enhance safety for pedestrians, mm-hmm. maybe calm the traffic a little bit. And really what we're talking about here is shortening the crosswalks, sure. making it easier for pedestrians to get from
curb
one side of the street.
Yep.
Yep. Make it a little quicker. One of the other things they talked about were parklets. And mm-hmm. that's kind of a new term for us in Bismarck. We've seen these things popping up nationwide. And really, again, it's just a short-term little...
There's a parklet.
A little
yeah,
parklet.
It's interesting.
It's a way to test how people would interact with a space that may not be a parking space. And I want everyone to remember that this is just a short-term demonstration. By no means is this anything permanent. It's just to try some other options to see how people would respond. Mm-hmm. We recognize that parking is a premium downtown, and we're not looking to permanently take away spaces. We just want to see if it encourages other types of activities downtown.
And isn't this part of the governor's Main Street initiative, this whole North yeah. Dakota Moves thing? And
right.
Last week when I met with Jim Neubauer from the city of Mandan, they also had a similar proposals mm-hmm. being brought forward by their city engineer. Yep. So they're moving forward on a couple of mini roundabouts mm-hmm. in their downtown area and a few curb extensions. So Bismarck is coming up with their own plan that'll happen on those two significant Main Street intersections.
Yep. And you'll see this.
And a couple of parklets.
And statewide.
So, yeah.
The bigger cities are all... looking at opportunities to enhance activity downtown and in areas where they feel it's appropriate. So mm-hmm. watch for that. We'll see some changes, some temporary changes going forward this summer.
This summer?
Yes.
They'll be implemented?
I believe so.
Okay, great. It'll be fun to watch. And have I noticed that there's some striping going on Main Street too? So we're getting
fresh paint, identifying the lane markings and all of those
helpful.
Things. Yep. And I believe there will be plans to make the permanent changes, implement the permanent changes later this year as well.
Great.
So,
well, a sad note last night, the end of your meeting was announcing the retirement of mm-hmm. somebody who's been around a long time.
30 years.
30 years in the city of Bismarck. City Attorney Charlie Whitman mm-hmm. is retiring.
He is.
And last night was his last meeting. Mm-hmm. I've had the privilege of working with Charlie just on a few occasions, and I always mm-hmm. find him to be so steady
yeah.
and just such a calm guy. But more importantly, he's just very knowledgeable.
He is.
So it's certainly a loss for the city. He said he's not going too far away.
Right.
So I'm sure he might be on your speed dial for mm-hmm. a while, but you have a competent replacement. She
started Monday, Janelle Combs.
Okay.
She will be assuming the responsibilities of the city attorney. And I think it's worth noting that the city attorney isn't just an attorney. As the mayor noted last night, Charlie has really been our business development director for many, many years, working through things like the Northern Plains Commerce Center, working with the staff at BMDA.
Sure.
Charlie wears a lot of different hats.
Yeah.
And it will be a change for us that have relied on him. For me personally, Charlie's office is just across the hall, and it's so easy to just walk over there and ask the question and get the answer. We need to be patient with Janelle. She's got
a
steep learning curve, no question, but we're going to help her out too. We're going to look forward to a nice, long, successful career with Janelle, but certainly a hats off to Charlie for his time and thanks to his family. I think he mentioned 720-some meetings,
commission meetings. And we have the date on that meeting, so mm-hmm. we have that photo with the date, and I think that's significant. He said, what was the number?
720, 722,
that's
something like that. That's a lot
it's
of meetings.
A lot of Tuesday nights.
It's a lot of late nights. It's a lot of time away from your family. So we certainly want to tip our hat to his family for
good work,
sharing
Charlie's
talents
He'll
with us.
He'll be missed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Charlie's not just a good attorney. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And he's easy to talk to. He knows a lot about just about everything.
Yep.
And he'll be missed.
I don't know which commissioner said it. He's saved us from a lot of situations
from ourselves
over the years. Yeah. Oh, we got to wrap up pretty quick here. Just a couple other mentions. There is an ITG meeting also on Thursday. Again, mm-hmm. we're recording on Wednesday the 23rd, Thursday the 24th. Commissioner Marquardt chairs the ITG, which is the political subdivisions coming together on a periodic basis. Mm-hmm. It'd be the school board, park district, county, and city.
Absolutely.
Sit down and go through common issues mm-hmm. between them. I noticed on the agenda they have a presentation from BMDA chamber exec Brian Ritter. They have other presentations going on that night, but then they discuss and mm-hmm. come together on issues.
Yeah, this is a great opportunity for the four political subdivisions to collaborate and communicate and talk about all the things that are happening in their worlds. And it's no secret that what is happening in Burleigh County affects the residents of Bismarck. What's going on with the schools affects the people with parks.
It's interesting because we've listened to a lot of debates and with the elections coming up on mm-hmm. June 12th about the relationships between the city and county. Come up a lot. City and school board comes up a lot. And I think people need to know these efforts are pretty ongoing and have been for quite some time. We televise this meeting. Mm-hmm. It's stored online. We replay it on our channel. So and they're open to the public.
Absolutely.
So people can go and listen. You can listen in your own home mm-hmm. at your desk.
On the
or
radio.
You can go sit and watch them. Yes, thank you for the radio mention as well. So they are available, and these discussions are ongoing. And it's amazing what they discover through these mm-hmm. conversations.
There's a very deliberate effort here to keep the lines of communication open. We understand the necessity of having good conversation and good dialogue with all the other political subdivisions.
Wanted to mention just briefly, too, Gloria David, again, sending out a news release about mm-hmm. the street sweeping schedule. And you said you just got a phone call this morning from somebody who's not happy that it
hasn't seen the street sweeper in his neighborhood yet.
Hasn't seen it yet.
It's coming.
I just want to remind people, Jeff Hines was here, Public Works Director, a few mm-hmm. weeks ago and talked about their street sweeping schedule is online. Go to bismarcknd.gov, into the Department of Public Works, and you can find their street sweeping schedule. We popped it up on our screen for our television and online viewers. And it's a cool map. It shows, mm-hmm. and they're changing it all the time, showing where they've been, what's scheduled up next, what hasn't been scheduled. Mm-hmm. So look at the map, and you kind of get a feel of how the streets are being cleaned in the city. So a little piece of info there.
There's definitely a process here. We've got thousands of lane miles worth of streets. There's a lot to take care of, and as you can see, there's parts of town that haven't seen any activity yet.
Okay.
But it will happen.
Yeah,
we'll
it's
get
spring.
There.
And we need to mention, we won't be together again for quite a while, a mm-hmm. couple weeks.
Three weeks.
In between, we will have an election.
June 12th.
Really important. Early voting will open the week prior, I believe. That'll be in the city-county building. People will be able to vote there. I think absentee ballots are also available already. Mm-hmm. Just contact the Secretary of State for that process. Or your county auditor's mm-hmm. office, Burleigh County Auditor. Now, the June 12th election will be a primary for our county offices.
That's correct.
But we will be electing city commissioner. We will be electing a mayor. Mm-hmm. School board. We have 10 candidates running for, I believe it's two or three spots. I forget.
Park District's got three spots open and only three candidates. Yeah. So
please vote.
Please vote. Absolutely. It's important.
June 12th is election day, but early voting, absentee is open. June 5th, early voting will happen. So.
Yeah, and if anybody has any questions about that, certainly contact County Auditor's Office. Our office is happy to help. 355-1300 is where you'll find us. So please exercise your civic duty. Get out and vote.
It's important. Thanks for being here, Jason.
You bet. Thanks for
having
me.
We'll talk on the other side of the election then.
You bet.
All right. And thank you for tuning into this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.